Hi to everybody so far, and welcome to our October 4th, it's 7:03, and I looked at the wrong number, our October 4th session. And for those of you who didn't see it in the email or on the Facebook group page, I had inadvertently skipped a week. So we're doing October 4th, and I think the next one is the 18th, but my new assistant, Madison, is going to just put all the dates on the emails that get sent out to you, and that will be updated every 2 weeks when you get an email. So you'll always have access to those dates, and you'll always know when we're meeting again. But basically, unless we tell you otherwise, it's every 2 weeks. Our last one will be December 13th, then we'll take a little break for the holidays, and then we'll start up again in January. And so, yeah, just get you caught up on that. Let's take a moment and smudge and just breathe into your bellies. See if anybody new has joined. And just take a minute and breathe into your bellies and ground your energy. Thank you all for being here. Thanks for taking time to be here. It's really nice to connect with everybody every couple weeks, and it's really nice to see you all interacting in the Facebook group page to see what comes up for you after we do this and to see you support each other and share. I really appreciate seeing that, and I know it's a huge support. Not everybody has the kind of community that we used to have before social media communities become a very online thing for a lot of people. There's some people that I sit with in private session who really only have community online because they can't get out of their house for whatever reason, or they're a stay-at-home mom, and so they're really busy with their kids, and it's harder to get out and be social. So the internet has really opened up the possibility to connect even if we're not physically present with each other. And so I know it's not the most comfortable way for people to link up all the time, and at the same time, it can really be a lifeline for people. And so I'm really grateful that you all have connected with each other as much as you have in the Facebook group. And even if I don't comment, I do go in and read and stay caught up. And it also shows me what you're resonating with, what you're getting out of it, and what you really like and what we can do in the future. It helps me keep an eye on how this is being supportive to the group, and I really appreciate that. And it's been an interesting couple of weeks since I saw you. My apprentices are basically like melting down right now because it's been that kind of time. So if you're having that experience, you are not alone. Hey, Julie just showed up. So yeah, it's been an interesting time leading up to this full moon, and just want to remind you that whatever your practices are, utilize them, because if you feel overwhelmed, that's really when you want to tap in with your practices. And I'll tell you, like I've told my apprentices, sometimes your only practice is guides, please help me, or God, please help me, or spirit, please help me, or goddess, please help me, or whoever you reach out to. Sometimes that prayer is your practice, because it's all you can do. And I want you to know that that's enough. One of my apprentices has been feeling really stressed out that she hasn't been able to do all the things that we do as part of this apprenticeship. And she's been really making things challenging for herself, feeling guilty that she's not keeping up, quote unquote. And, you know, I want to remind you, like I reminded her, that sometimes as you chop wood, carry water with a spiritual practice, sometimes your prayer of holy, you know what, help me out, holy crap, help me out. I would use a different word besides crap, but y'all know what I mean. Sometimes that's the practice. Sometimes the practice is just help. But at least you're remembering to ask. And so please don't beat yourselves up if all you can do during some of these energies is to just connect with your guides and say, please help me today, because that is a practice. And the more you say, whoever your guides are, please help me today, the deeper you'll, the more you'll do your practice, and the deeper it will get, and the more time you'll make for more space, for more practice. But please don't beat yourselves up for anything, really. Just stop beating yourself up. It doesn't help. And there's a lot going on right now, and a lot of what you're feeling is collective energy. It's not just yours. So be easy with yourself. Be gentle with yourself. And I don't know if Jack is on the call today, but if not, it's all goddesses. It's all women. And you all feel these moons. You feel the new moon. You feel the full moon. You feel the shifts of the energy. And I really encourage you to honor that and be present with that and appreciate that and be gentle with yourself and don't take it all too seriously and get caught up in it while at the same time really honoring that and being graceful and easeful with yourself. And as we head into full moons, sometimes the full moon just bowls me over and sometimes it feels amazing. Almost every time I can't sleep, so I just figure for about 3 days, I'm going to just stay up with the moon. It's just become part of my practice now. I get very little sleep around the full moon. And once I just went, okay, this is my full moon, then I don't really need as much sleep around the full moon. And I find myself getting very active with my energy. Lots of new projects will start to happen for me around the full moon. And then the new moon for me tends to be a little bit more internal and more of that shadow work, which is what might be expected, but just depends. It depends on where it falls astrologically and how I'm feeling with everything else. So in honor of our full moon tomorrow, I'd like to do a brief journey to connect in and honor the moon, open up the space, get us grounded. And then when I'm done, I'll open up the floor for anything that you all want to work with. Shanti has something that she wanted to work with last week, so we'll let her go first, and then we'll see who else has something to work on. So let's take a minute and just breathe into our bellies, and thank you all for being here. And just breathing gently into your belly. And just allow yourself to send those energetic roots down into the earth like a great tree. Just sink those roots into Pachamama. And as you breathe gently into your belly, just allow any stuck energy to flow down through those roots into the earth. Just feed that hucha to Pachamama. And allow the energy of the earth to start to flow back up into you as well so that you feel that nourishment and that nurturance and that care. Invoking the pillars of this temple, Archangels Michael, Ariel, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel in the center, Sandalphon above, Metatron below. Activating this temple grid space so that we are in medicine world. And everything is welcome as pure love and pure medicine. Gracias, Apukuna. Gracias, Nustakuna. Gracias, ancestors. Gracias, las plantas, las flores, los árboles. Thank you to our plant teachers. Thank you to the archangels and the celestial realms. Thank you to the star beings. Thank you to all of our teachers and our guides in the seen and unseen realms. Breathing gently into your bellies. Visualize yourself stepping into your sacred space and see yourself at a fire, the sacred fire where all of us gather when we come together for these sessions. And see yourself stepping up to that sacred fire to gather with each of these other good brothers and sisters in the realms. And see that each of you bring your own gifts and your own good medicine. Each of you bring your own ancestor support and your own guides. And feel yourself grounded even as you connect with each other in the realms around the sacred fire. And as you gather around the sacred fire, imagine yourself looking up straight at the full moon, that beautiful, beautiful, bright full moon in the sky. And breathe into your belly as you receive the luminous, luminous energy of the full moon, the harvest moon. And I'd like for you to invite the spirit of the moon as a guide to come and stand in front of you. However you see the moon as a spirit guide is perfect. Whatever you get is perfect. Just imagine the moon standing in front of you as a spirit guide. Create a visual. Connect in with what it feels like to have the spirit of the moon right in front of you as a guide, as a teacher, as a support. And take a few minutes and connect in with the spirit of the moon as a guide, as a teacher. Ask for gifts, ask for support, ask for wisdom, ask for guidance. Or simply be present, whatever you'd like to do. Take a moment and just be with La Luna, Mama Kia, the moon.
Mama Kia Marasuna.
Sabina, Luz, Sabina, Maracina. Luz, Sabina, Luz, Sabina, Maracina. Luz, Sabina, Luz, Sabina, Maracina. Mama Kocha, Mama Kocha, Medicina. 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 Ancestors, ancestors, Medicina. Ancestors, ancestors, Medicina. Mustakona, Mustakona, Medicina. Mustakona, Mustakona, Medicina. Breathe into your bellies. And just take your time as you're ready, making your way back into the space where you are, staying connected with La Luna as a teacher, as a mother, as a guide, and also staying connected with the sacred fire that brings us all together in the realms. The counsel I receive from the moon, which in Quechua is Mama Kia. Kia is moon, so Mama Kia, Mother Moon. Mama Cocha. Cocha is ocean, so that's Mother Ocean. So I sang in the ocean energy as well because they're intimately connected. But when I connect with La Luna, Mama Kia, the moon, she reminds me that, especially as women, but really for all people, if we would gauge our time by the cycles of the moon, we would have a lot more peace in our hearts instead of gauging our time by a clock or the collective idea of time or what we've accomplished or where we think we are on our journey or however you're defining time in your world. Mama Kia reminds me that we are intimately connected with the cycles of nature. And so when we work with, or even just acknowledge the cyclical nature in our awareness and our personal connection with the cycles of the moon, that's a much more gentle, graceful, natural way to have a sense of time, which is completely a construct anyway. So I'll just leave that with you because that's something that the moon has talked to me about before. And I understand that if you have a 9-to-5 job, the moon doesn't necessarily come wake you up in the morning and get you ready for work. At the same time, I find that the moon, it shows me the balance of it's that being in the world, not of the world, where we can work with this construct that we call time and we can play within the matrix of this third dimensional experience while also honoring the natural cycles. And there's a balance that can be achieved there, which will be of great support. So I like to connect in with the moon as a spirit guide and really not just see the physical moon that we connect with and think of when we think of the moon, the planet, the physical being. I really like to connect in with the moon as a spirit guide, just like any other spirit guide you would connect with. And I won't go into how she shows up for me, and I really like how she shows up for me. I really like her energy, and I feel very held and nurtured in that. So, Paige, if you will unmute Miss Shanti, since she asked to talk about something early on, and work with something tonight as an individual on behalf of the group. Hey, Shanti.
Bloom tonight.
Excuse me?
I said, hello, Bloom. How are you tonight?
I am well. How are you?
After our first, what we just did then was very, very grounding and centering. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, I like to start that way. I've also found that as a group, if I do too much at the beginning, y'all just kind of like fade out. I'm like, come back, let's do some work. So I'm trying to find that balance of taking y'all into the realms, but not going so far that you can't come back and do a little mojo together. So okay. That was fun.
Okay. What I had thought about working on last week may have been replaced by something that it would be easier and feel a little safer to bring up what I was going to work on last week,
mm-hmm.
which probably tells me that what has come up this week is what really needs to be worked upon.
Okay.
And it has been ignited, let's say, by the death a few months ago of a friend for whom I was the primary caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And what is surfacing is the a fear, and I do not believe in fear. I believe that is an illusion,
mm-hmm.
and that I have to work around that to come back to the truth. But the fear is not of dying, not of being in back completely in spirit. It is of the infirmity, frailty, being alone, helpless.
Mm-hmm.
If I were infirm and being alone, not having someone to do that caregiving.
Mm-hmm.
Because she and I had named each other as primary caregivers, and we never updated our documents. We weren't that close when she became ill, but it was very natural for me to step into that role. Now that she has died, it brings up the practical matter of, to whom would I look if I was incapable of taking care of myself? And that's just a practical question, but I think it's much deeper for me, the fact that it's bringing up this fear. Because I also believe that I'm always taken care of. I look back at things I have been anxious about, concerned about in my life, whether it was money, job, whatever, and I've never really, none of those have come to pass. None of those worst case scenarios that my mind could go to. So I really think there's something more underlying this fear of being alone, being helpless, being susceptible, unaided. And that's what I'd like to work with, is transforming that from this fear into an understanding of what's generating it and turning it around into the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And everything you've shared makes sense, because especially when someone close to us has really anything intense happen in their life, then it hits really close to home. And having your dear friend pass away and having cared for her for so long before that happened, that it makes sense that that would bring things up for you and start to get you thinking about your future and your possible future and planning that, and just everything you talked about totally makes sense. What caught my attention, though, that I find interesting is the piece around, I don't believe in fear and I have to work around it. Those two pieces didn't fully resonate and land for me personally. And I'll share with you why, to see if this feels supportive to you. I'll start with the one that will probably be easier to talk about, is I have to work around it. The languaging right there has a lot of resistance. So even in that languaging, I have to work around this. There's resistance, and I foresee that makes it more challenging. Regardless of how you might be experiencing that, it might be just semantics for you. I'm tracking the energy. So if somebody says to me, I should, or I have to, then I start tracking energy, because there's a whole other dynamic happening there, which is pushing against. The other piece is I don't believe in fear. And I sense that I understand how you meant that. I'd still like to dissect it, because that's what we're doing here. So for the fun of it, I'd like to just be with that and really get present to that phrase. Because I do believe in fear, and I believe in everything else too, and I also believe that all of it's an illusion. So for me, it's not really about whether or not I believe or don't believe or whether it's real or an illusion. We're having this third dimensional experience, which feels very real, and then we also have an understanding that it's all an illusion. So it's both. So in my world and in the shamanic world, as I perceive it, it's both and. Yes, it's real. Yes, it's not real. Yes, it's an illusion. Yes, it's very third dimensionally experienced. So for me, it's about not throwing out the baby with the bathwater. And fear in my world is simply a signpost that says something's not in alignment. And to me, that's what you're trying to track. The fear, as you said very clearly, you don't really believe that fear. You know that you're taken care of, yet it's still there. So we want to honor that and be present to that. And also let that simply be a signpost instead of something that drags us down under the water. In my experience, all emotions are simply signposts. But humans get very caught up in emotions. Oh, I feel sad, and then everything falls apart from there. Or, oh, I feel afraid, and everything kind of falls apart from there, because we really believe the emotions when they're happening, even though they could change 20 minutes later. They could change 2 seconds later. Emotions are the most bipolar thing on the planet. Emotions are a roller coaster. And as soon as I stopped, you know, buying into everything my emotions, and meaning as soon as I stopped letting my emotions run the show, and I could feel my emotions, I can be present to my emotions, I can have my emotional experience while also having this witnessing place of, oh, fear's coming up. That's a great signpost that something's not in alignment. Let me track that.
I agree.
Yeah, so that's how I would sit with what you're saying. And the piece around, I have to work around this, I would encourage you to actually do the opposite. What I would encourage is, and we can do this now if you'd like, go into a shamanic journey and actually go talk to that fear. Let's go find that fear, give it its own energy, and say, hey, fear of suffering or being alone and not being taken care of, who are you? What do you need? Because when we can befriend that fear, it's also called, in some Buddhist practices, you've studied Buddhism, right?
Right.
Right. And they call it feeding your demons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No. And so that's the way I would work with it in order to really go through it instead of trying to avoid it or go around it. And not only will you get good medicine there and learning, but you'll really get to expand into ownership and owning that fear. Sorry, I'm getting information from the realms and I'm trying to have a conversation in the linear. Let me take a minute and ground, because I'm listening to information while I'm talking to you all. And so I'm going to take a minute and breathe into my belly and ground so that I can listen and talk at the same time. Because what they're showing me is that as you integrate this fear and befriend this fear and feed that demon, so to speak, I use that term in quotes because I don't mean literal demons. As you expand and embody that, then your medicine will get bigger. You'll be able to hold better space for people who are transitioning, because she's not the only one that you'll hold that space for, which I sense that you know, because you're pretty tapped in. I sense that she's just the beginning. And it might be people that you're close to. It might be people that you're not close to. But I sense that you have a real gift for hospice and holding space for people as they transition. So really talking to this fear of what's going to happen in my future when I get old, and will I be alone? And I feel like that would be the best way to fully integrate that, so that it becomes medicine. So that if it pops up again, you know how to work with it. Did all that make sense?
It does. And when I say have to work around it, I don't mean avoid it or take a route as though I were going around an obstacle. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that part was semantics.
The semantics are good. The semantics are good to look at, though. Semantics are good to look at. Yeah. Because
you get that feedback.
Yeah. And it's just, you have a real sharp mind real quick, too. So I know I I knew you would get it, and I like to share it with everybody else too. It is semantics, and at the same time, it's conscious languaging. And I really like to track the energy of what I'm saying, and just be aware. Wow, I don't feel like I meant that, but maybe I did, you know. And so it's nice to dive in a little deeper that way. So let's do this. Some of you might not be feeling that same fear of. Some of you might have those fears come up of what if something happens to me or when I'm older, and some of you may, this may not resonate for you at all. And so if this doesn't resonate for you at all, you can think of another fear and let's go talk to it. And if you want, even if this doesn't resonate for you, it's a great thing to practice with. My dad was in the hospital this week and, last week, and I don't put a bunch of my personal stuff on Facebook because I don't need the feedback and all the chatter, but it's reminding me of what you're talking about, Shanti, in that it's the first person in my immediate family that it's like, oh, reality check. They're getting older. My parents are getting older. They will not always be here. And so I had a similar reality check to what you're sharing, Shanti. Not so much when I get older, but just the idea of all of us getting older and people leaving our lives and getting that reality check when it hits really close to home. So I really appreciate what you're sharing because it brought up a lot of good stuff for me to sit with too. So what I'd like to do is for all of us to go into the realms. Let's call in that moon medicine. And I'm going to walk Shanti through connecting with this fear. And if you want to connect with the same fear, just to see what comes up and see if there's any juicy stuff there for you, go for it. If you feel like you'd like to, there's something else that's more present for you as far as a fear you want to talk to and befriend and integrate, then work with that. Okay. So you ready, Shanti?
I'm ready.
Awesome. Everybody just breathe into your bellies. Just ground your energy and just reconnect with that spirit of the moon to illuminate, shine a light on our way to open up clarity and understanding, wisdom, insight. And Shanti, if you want to step into your sacred space or surround yourself with your guides, you're welcome to do that. I want you to feel really held and nurtured and safe and protected in this process. So just let me know when you feel that and you're ready.
Ready.
And I'd like you to actually just take a moment, breathe into your belly, and track the energy in your body. And ask for clarity of where that little seed of fear was popping up from. Where is it in your physical body?
Okay. Got it.
Can you tell me where it is?
Mid of my torso, just below the heart chakra, between it and the neck chakra. Mm-hmm.
So close to your solar plexus?
Yeah, actually just about midway between the solar plexus and the heart chakra.
Uh-huh. Good. So breathe into that part of your body. And just take a moment and explore that area and find that energy that has been afraid, the energy that got triggered that's hiding out, hanging out in that spot. And when you can feel it, create a visual of that energy that's been afraid.
Okay.
And tell me what it looks like.
It's most similar to a baseball with red stitches on it.
Huh. Well, that's okay. Whatever you get is perfect. So just take a moment and ask that energy, what do you need? Just ask that energy, what do you need? and tell me what you get when you're ready.
Well, the energy changed shape and color. It became now standing in my outstretched hand as a yellow pillar of more of a light beam, but it's a golden yellow. Mm-hmm. And it drawing my hand away from my body and saying, distance, distance.
And saying what?
Distance. Literally drawing away from me as far as it could be, as far away as my arm can stretch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What does that mean, it needs distance?
I have to ask. To be held out like that, at this like at arm's distance, to be able to be seen for what it is.
Mm-hmm. And so you can see it for the light that it is?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Good. And can you find a way to integrate that light as good medicine, as pure love and pure medicine within you?
Yes, it came to be inhaled, ingested, and become part of a light being, like a candle that's going from just below my dantian up to about the throat chakra.
Mm-hmm. Good. So just breathe into that and integrate that. And anybody else who's working with some fear, just connect with that energy and ask it, what do you need? Because usually what these energies need is love and acknowledgement, and they need to be heard and seen. And so Shanti, with you, what I saw with more like the baseball energy was that's how it is when you can't see the big picture. And when you were able to step back and see the big picture, you were able to see the medicine that was there and not just the energy balled up, which felt fearful. Do you understand?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's good. And often we'll have this really powerful energy within us, but we feel it and we are really close to it, so it can feel scary. But then when we back up and get some space and just ask that energy what it needs, starts to relax and dissipate and open up, and there's spaciousness, and we can get some understanding around it.
Right, right.
Good, good.
We're talking about transforming, right? I didn't know exactly what, but this, yeah.
Well, and I feel like for you, I'm sorry?
That was very helpful. That is very helpful, the way you're putting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that for you, you already had some understanding around it. It was simply a matter of getting some perspective.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of energy that started moving through you in this process with your friend as she was passing. And so you were in a big initiation throughout that process. And it feels to me, the counsel I'm receiving is a lot of that energy kind of got balled up between your solar plexus and your heart, and it's just been sitting there. And as it sits there, then you feel fear because there's this stuck energy. And so just and really for everybody, wherever you feel that fear, that stuck energy, with whatever grace and ease, you can go in and just acknowledge it, speak to it, see what it needs, bring it some love. Even if it doesn't speak back to you, just give it some light and some love and befriend it, and then see what shifts for you. So good job, Shanti.
Thank you, Glenn, for the assistance and everyone's energy.
Yeah, nice. Great. Okay, you can mute Julie. Who'd like, I'm sorry, not Julie, Shanti. I was reading Julie's message. Julie, hopefully you were able to hear Shanti, what was going on there. Who would like to go next? Great. Julie was able to hear you. Michelle, did you have a question? You came up? No? Okay. Do I need to start calling on people? Because y'all know I will. Be like, let's do some mojo. Well, just comment on there or hold your hand up and Paige will unmute you. Okay, Tracy, will you unmute Tracy T. Prater, please? And whoever else joined on the phone, hey, I can't see who you are, but I want to welcome you to the circle. Hey, Miss Tracy.
Hey, I just wanted to share something that had happened the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And just get everybody's feel for it. For about 2 weeks, I would wake up almost every hour on the hour from like somewhere between 12 and 1, 1 and 2, 2 and 3, 3 and 4, 4 and 5, until it was time to get up to go to work. And I would have expected to be very tired the next day, mm-hmm. but I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I journaled that, and once I journaled it, it stopped. And it's almost like I miss it.
Mm.
So
once you started journaling what you were receiving when you were waking up in the middle of the night, it stopped?
Yeah, well, you know what? Really, it just, I don't want to say I received any. I don't know that I received anything in particular, but it was like I would wake up and go like, oh, I'm going to be so tired in the morning. I better go back to sleep. And then I go back to sleep. Or the next time I'd wake up and go like, wonder what's going on. Oh, the only thing I did have a dream about a bear. And that's the only dream I remember. And it was like I was at the side door, the driver's side of a vehicle. And all of a sudden this bear came from around the back of the vehicle. But bless her heart, she was very scrawny. Very thin bear. And I thought, oh, I should really, she had this mean look on her face. I thought, I should really be afraid, but I'm not. And then she just zoomed past me. And that's the only really dream I had. So I was just like, and now all of a sudden I'm sleeping again, but it's like I don't want to. I want to wake up every hour on the hour because now I'm more tired now than I was before.
Yeah, I have those phases as well. And my personal experience, what I do is I get really proactive with it.
Okay.
If I'm getting woken up, and I'm guessing that pretty much everybody listening knows the difference between you just wake up because you have to go to the bathroom or something, or when there are those moments where you get woken up and you know that something is tapping in with you, right?
Right.
That's what it feels like when you're talking about it.
Okay.
And what I do is I say whatever comes into mind. Okay, you all have my attention. What do you want me to know? What do you want me to hear? What do you want me to receive? Let me know in the dream time. Let me know now. And inevitably, I end up receiving all sorts of activations, uploads, information, some of which sinks in better than others, depending on how soon I fall asleep after they wake me up. I too find that when I say to the energies that wake me up, hey, I'm listening, I'm ready to receive, that the next day I'm not as tired. Similar to when I realized, okay, I'm just not going to sleep as deeply necessarily with the full moon because there's energy happening. And when I became at peace with that, then I didn't wake up tired the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I simply went, okay, well, this is how it's going to go. And then suddenly there was no resistance to the not sleeping as much. So I would be fine the next day. But I find that when I tell the energies, when I tell my guides, yes, I'm open to receiving, I'm listening, what have you got for me? I can end up in a whole, I personally can end up in a whole psychotropic journey and have really interesting experiences. I'm used to tapping in, so it can get really trippy for me, but they can definitely, you know, when we're in the sleep state or the in-between sleeping and waking, that's when we're most receptive. That's when all of our other resistance that we bring while we're awake just dissipates. So it is the best time for them to get your attention and teach and share and bring healing and bring you visions and guidance. Like, it's the best time. So,
okay, so I'm ready. I want more.
Well, that's what you want to do, is tell them that before you go to sleep.
Okay.
Keep your journal by the bed so that if you do wake up enough to write something down, you can. Or when you get up in the morning, if you just want to write down some bullet points so that you remember.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a point where I trust that I'm going to remember what I need to remember, but sometimes I will blog about it or journal some things. You know, and so, yeah, let them know that you're ready and you're open and you're receptive and you would like to receive, and set that intention. And if you do start feeling, sometimes there's been times when I felt like I just got worked all night long, like I was in
right.
all night long, and I am tired the next day. And I will tell them, y'all, I can't get work like that tonight. I got to sleep. I got to rest. And then I sleep better the next night. I mean, sometimes I'm just doing that kind of work in the realms where I really do feel tired the next day. And I'm very aware that I'm getting worked and that things are shifting. And sometimes it's more comfortable than other times. But, yeah, it feels like you were being woken up for a reason. So I would definitely explore that, be proactive, tell your guides just what you said. I'm ready. I want to do this. I'm listening. Just let me know. And if you have certain things that you're working on and you want to set those as intentions, let them know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yay. Thank you.
You're welcome. That's fun. I'm sure a lot of people who are listening have those similar experiences. I'm sure everybody that is on the session right now knows what you're talking about and has those experiences. So especially around the new moon and the full moon, you all are already setting intentions. So let your sleep time, your dream time, be a part of your medicine. Now, I'll tell you, like a teacher told me, and you can take it with a grain of salt, but the first shaman I ever studied with said, if you're getting worked in your dream time, it's because you're not doing it with the work when you're awake.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a piece of that that I feel I resonate with, because I sit with a lot of people who will not do their work while they're awake, so they're constantly getting bombarded in their sleep. But at the time, I've worked with people who do a lot of dream work. And dream work is a valid way to do the work. For me, the balance is bringing that dream work into your waking time and having a balance of being aware and open and receptive, whether you're sleeping or awake. Because really, we're sleeping when we're awake, too.
Right.
We want to wake up in all of it, wake up, so to speak. So, but yeah, there's something, too, if we're not dealing with something or looking into something, especially shadow stuff while we're awake, then it'll come in while we're sleeping, and that's when your dreams can get super weird and sometimes stressful. So I'm excited for you. Keep us posted. Keep us posted. And that bear, I like the bear medicine. So
I do. Bear has always been with me, and I haven't had bear come to me either physically or in the realms for a long time. And I was like, yeah, bear's back. But this time bear, most of the time it was a male bear. And now it was a female bear. And I was like, okay, that's a little different, but I'll take it.
No, that's good. I think it's great that you've got that shift happening. Because if it's always the same thing over and over, I would wonder how much you're expanding out of your comfort zone and how much you want things to shift. Yes, let a female bear show up. Maybe a bear shows up that's kind of scary one time and not scary another time. And just all the, it's all symbolic. So, yeah, that's awesome.
And it's kind of odd that the people I work with, they call me Mama Bear. So I was like, okay, maybe I need to do a little Mama Bear for somebody at work. So.
Or I would encourage you to focus on yourself first.
Okay.
I mean, maybe there is some Mama Bear that gets to happen at work, but my encouragement for everybody would be receive whatever wisdom you're receiving and focus on yourself first. Do your work first. Get, you know, do your medicine first. self-care for you first, maybe you need to mama bear yourself, right?
Gotcha.
Because you really can't be of best support to other people if you take the energy and immediately reach out.
Which, yeah, I do sometimes.
Yeah, which you tend
to. You know me.
Right. And as a mama bear, that would be a natural thing for you to do. But mama bear, I've watched these mama bears with their cubs, and they have no problem stealing that seed away from those babies and taking care of themselves first. They have no problem with that, and the babies just, like, sit back. But mama makes sure her babies get fed. She
right.
makes them taken care of, but she's got a bigger job to do. So she's got to eat first, literally. So that's important. Whatever you're receiving in the dream time, do your work first and then see how it might. Because then when you do your work with it first, a lot of times you don't have to do anything for anybody else. Right?
Yes.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing, Tracy.
Thank you.
Michelle wants me to talk about lucid dreaming. Yeah, I actually work quite a bit with lucid dreaming. There are certain practices you can do. Lucid dreaming is different than astral travel. I'll have people come sit with me who just want to focus on astral travel and they don't want to talk about anything else. I don't know why that is. I don't know why they're not open to other ways of working. But of the handful of people who've come to me and said, I astral travel, work with me on this. I'm like, well, you need to get in your body before you keep astral traveling. And they don't want to hear that. So I don't get a lot of people who want to work with me who are focused that much on astral travel. Astral travel is fine. And I really encourage people to get grounded before they start working that way, because I've sat with a number of people who astral traveled and they just a mess. You know, you really want to be discerning about floating out like that. Now, lucid dreaming is different. And lucid dreaming, I'm sure most of you know what it is. I'm sure all of you do. But lucid dreaming is when you wake up in the dream. And there are practices you can do if you all want to start working a little bit. I can just tell you a really basic practice. I'm not a lucid dreaming practitioner, so I can't school you on all of it. But there's some simple practices that I started with so that I could start lucid dreaming. Lucid dreaming is really interesting, because you'll be in the dream, you'll recognize that you're in a dream, and then you can make things happen in the dream. And I have had some intense lucid dreams. I've had some powerful connection with guides. I literally got taken out into the realms by the archangels, and I had my eyes closed because we were going so fast that I couldn't open my eyes. I could physically feel it. It's like I was in a rocket ship, except I could feel the wind, if that makes sense. And I could physically feel it, even though I knew that I was asleep, but I wasn't asleep. And I remember saying, I want to open my eyes. And I heard, if you do, you'll feel sick. And I opened my eyes and I was floating, trying to hold on to like a bed frame. My bed doesn't have a frame, so I don't know where that bed frame came, but everything was floating around and everything got really slow. And I got super nauseous in my lucid dream. And so I closed my eyes, and as soon as I did, we just kept going. And I remember at some point it just stopped, and it was like, we're going to take you back now. And they just rocketed back down to the earth. And I was totally aware of what was going on. This is why I have no issues with connecting with archangels being as big as, you know, as you can imagine, and holding the earth right here in the palm of their hand. So some of the practices that I personally started working with is really basic ones. They tell you to look for your hands in a dream. I can honestly say I've never found my hands in a dream. It never occurs to me to look for my hands in a dream. But what I started doing was looking at my hands in the daytime and saying, what was it I would say to myself all the time? I don't even do it anymore. None of this is real or something like that. I'll have to look it up and remember what I used to say to myself all the time. But it's basically like you want to just, oh, no, you say, I am in the dream. That's what you say, not none of this is real. I am in the dream. So I would look at my hands. You want to look at the front and you want to look at the back. And I would do that whenever I thought of it throughout the day. And I would say, I am in the dream. I am in the dream. I am in the dream. And I would say things like, this is a dream. I am in the dream. And I would just look at the front and the back of my hands. Now, when I got into the dreams themselves, I never thought to look for my hands, but I would wake up easier because I would hear myself say, I'm in a dream. And then I would know that I was in a dream. So that's something that they say that you can practice, is look at your hands throughout the day and just say, I am in the dream. This is a dream. I am in the dream. This is a dream. And look at the front and the back of your hands. If you just did that for like 3, 4, 7 days, you'd start having some interesting dreams. It completely shifted my dream time to a much more lucid state. Lucid dreams are a little different than I was just talking to you about, Tracy, where you actually wake up and you're getting worked on. When they're working with me, when guides are working with me in the kind of asleep, half awake phase, it's different than a lucid dream. I'm very aware and I'll come in and out of sleep. I don't know what the word for that is, but it feels different than a lucid dream. So, Julie, what's your question? Will you unmute Julie, please? Y'all are asking me about lucid dreaming and death. Woo! Let's have some lighthearted little comedy session tonight. I hope that helped, Michelle. I'm not a lucid dreaming expert, but that'll get you started. Yeah, Julie.
I really resonated with Shanti's little journey that we just did. And then that made me really think about, like, in the past, maybe a little over a month or so, I feel like I have been literally, like, surrounded and bombarded by death. And not so much in the fact that I'm, like, super affected by the animals or the people that are actually leaving, because, like, I just know they're better off. They're out of here, you know? But I feel like I'm really holding space and supporting for those people that are still here and that are close to them. Like, it's been animals, it's been my friends' pets, it's been, you know, my friends, one of my really good friends, but I felt like I was more supporting and, like, co-processing for her daughter and not even, like, sad that she was going. And I feel so drained from it, like, exhausted from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, when we just did that journey, like, it clearly brought shit up, and I don't know what.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm processing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll just interject here so you can take a moment and breathe and ground that when you're holding space for a lot of people like that, there's a piece of us that naturally goes into a way of sustaining ourselves. And so there's a piece of us that kind of leaves so that we can take care of everybody. And then when all the taking care of them is done and we can just focus on ourselves, then suddenly it hits later. You know, that's part of what you're experiencing, is like the after effects of you've been holding space for so many people that now your stuff can come up to process. I also am receiving counsel that you're processing grief for other people because you've been holding space for other people, and we're all one energy. So
yeah.
People, if they don't mean to project, you're going to pick up, you're going to feel that grief, even if it's not someone that you would have grieved over, even if it's not somebody that you know. You're still picking up on that energy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I totally feel, and I'm, like, aware that it's not even mine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, and I'm trying to just let it move through me.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like something's getting stuck somewhere, I guess. But.
Yeah, well, and you signed up for the empath class that's coming up, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about this in the empath class, because that's. Not to blow it off or anything, we'll do a brief practice here, but exactly what you're talking about, and especially, I mean, a lot of you on these sessions, you sit with other people, you do healing work, you counsel others, you hold space for others regardless of what your work is. So there's a natural, like, needing to just clear it out of your field, you know, and just get clear with yourself. So that's why I wanted to come up with that empath class, because even when you're using your tools and you feel like you're staying clean and clear, you can hit these moments where it's just all the stuff is up and it all starts to kind of sink in and your stuff is getting triggered. And So yeah, some of this is not yours. Some of this is being tired. You're tired. You've been holding space for a lot of people. And when you get tired, it's harder to process it. Some of it's that you're trying to process it through yourself and you don't need to do that. And we'll talk about that in the empath class. And I just want to tell everybody here, remind you, do not try to process other people's stuff. The very first shaman I ever studied with said, I said, what about sucking stuff out of people? Like when we're working with energies that we want to clear. And he said, you never take it into yourself except as a last resort. Okay. So whenever I share with you what my teachers have shared with me, take it with a grain of salt. You're going to have your way of doing things. They have their way of doing things. His way of doing things is that you do not bring it into yourself except as a last resort, if there's no other way to clear it.
I don't necessarily feel like I'm doing that. I feel more
But you are, unintentionally. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I definitely could be. I mean, that's not my intention, obviously. So, like you said, unintentionally. But I also feel like there's maybe something deeper within me that I'm, when I say co-processing, like I'm processing alongside of them, but I don't know what it is I'm processing in myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and when you're holding space for people, sometimes it's a little harder to look at your own stuff as it's coming up because you're trying to be present for them. So now's the opportunity to do, and we may not get to do this all on the call, but that's where you want to go into your body and see what's coming up. You want to track the energy and find out what's coming up and what's needing attention.
Okay.
And
so like you just did with her, because that was really powerful for me.
Yeah.
Like that was, she said that for me. So.
Yeah. And that's what I love about working this way is that regardless of what's coming up for people, it always can help other people when we walk through it together.
Yeah.
So you'll want to, and you
can hear it back.
I'm sorry?
I need to do more of what we just did. Like, okay.
Yeah. And what I would also encourage, and I'll close this out with this guided meditation to help everybody clear their energy, because I feel like that would be really good for everybody anyway. But, yeah, I would encourage you and anybody else who feels comfortable, but I feel like you, Julie, definitely would feel comfortable to go into a shamanic journey and track into your body where you're feeling it physically and start – talking to those energies in there, just like we did with Shanti, find the place, get a visual. It might just be goo. It might just be stuck energy. It might be a little girl version of you. It might be anything. I mean, it doesn't matter. You saw with Shanti, it kind of showed up like a baseball, but that was really just a symbol. That it doesn't matter how it shows up. Talk to it, find out what it needs, honor it, acknowledge it, love it, and integrate it with grace and ease. That's going to be the best thing to do.
Okay.
For everybody. So what I'd like to do, and we'll do a brief version of this, but if you all go to my YouTube channel, there's a video called, I'll try to post it in the Facebook group too, but it's an Andean practice. I can't remember what I called the video, so I'll have to post it for you. But there's an Andean practice that they like to do at the new year where they literally just clear all the cords. Even with people that you love and adore, you just clear it all out and get into your own field for a minute, okay? So let's do a real brief version of that so we don't run too long. So, and Paige, when I'm done, if you'll, thank you, Julie, for sharing.
Thanks.
Yeah, and Paige, if you'll mute Julie, and then Paige, I want you to enjoy this process as well, but when we're complete, when I'm done, if you'll just, I want everybody to be able to stay in their journey. So if you'll just turn off the recording, and then you all can stay in your journey as long as you want to be in that. So I'm going to close up when I need to close up, but if you want to stay in that place of feeling uncorded, that's fine. So let me tell you how this works so that if you want to stay in it when I'm done, you can. Because if in the comfort of your own homes, you can journey as long as you want. That's what I love about you all getting to do this from home. And I just want to check in. Melina's mentioning body work, and yeah, obviously body work will be a huge support. So yeah, that's a great Andean New Year reset practice. Yes, Marianne, thank you. That's what the video is called. Thank you all. It's like having all this assistance. I appreciate it. So we're gonna go in and sit by the sacred fire. We're gonna just let go of any hooks, cords, attachments to anybody, any place, situation, or thing, even people that you love, just so you can get free and clear in your own energy bubble. Feel what that feels like. And then when you're ready, start reconnecting with the ones you want to connect with, because it's inevitable. But then you get to feel into what feels good to connect with, but you mostly get to feel what it feels like to not be connected to anything. My experience is I just float in the oneness. It feels amazing. Love to do this every once in a while. So breathe into your bellies. Send those energetic roots down into Pachamama so that you feel really grounded, really held. And just see yourself sitting at the sacred fire or in your sacred space or just surrounded by your guides right where you are, and just bring your guides in and just feel yourself really held and safe, comfortable. Breathe into your belly. And then just gently, slowly scan your body. And wherever you feel a sense of attachment or connection with any person, place, situation, or thing, even your guides, just feel yourself slowly. You can start at your head and go all the way down to your toes, just unhooking from everybody and everything so that you are just floating in your own personal bubble of light energy. And clear and clear and clear. And I'm going to get quiet and let you do that. And yes, clear out everybody. Animals, people, pets. Just free and clear so that you are pure oneness. And just be with whatever arises. Know that you're safe. If the monkey mind comes through, just detach from that too. And just feel how you're completely free and clear of everything. Breathe into that. And just take your time floating in that oneness energy. Whenever you're ready, you can start reconnecting, grounding, and coming back from your sacred space. Remember to drink plenty of water when you're complete. And thank you, Paige. If you'll just end the recording, we'll just let everybody stay in their journey.